This program is brought to you by Jewel, sous vide by Chef Steps. Jewel takes the guesswork out of cooking. Learn more at chefsteps.com/joule.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Where are you?
I don't know. There I am.
There you are.
My name is Souther Teague. Good to see you.
You too, man.
Good to be seen and good to be heard.
Indeed.
How are you, buddy?
I'm super chill, bro.
Yeah. How's your? Is it? What do you consider this? Is this now a vacation when you're here in New York for a week?
No, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, true.
Dude.
Lies.
It really is like.
Drinking 35 Underbergs is a whole lot of work.
It's a lot of work. I will say this, to be totally truthful, the days are a little bit harder because of the nights, you know? So, like, it's just, you know, like, getting older, but
that
also...
That sounds like an 80s lyric.
Well,
days are a little harder.
I ripped it off from Wham. It's a Wham B-side. it is. Like, the great thing about it is... The hangovers are kind of a little bit more welcome because the fact that there's so many great people in the city that you want to say hi to and like hang out with and have drinks with, so you end up having a lot.
Really,
oh man! Oh, you went for that?
Wow!
Yeah.
Jesus,
it's
Christ!
Good.
It's so good.
It's mother's milk.
Oh fuck, that's delicious.
It's overproof rum, but it's dark.
Nice.
So okay, so. We have a crew in the studio today, and Jessie Willers is part of it, and she's digging through the Speakeasy bar. I was like, let's do a shot of something, and she went straight for the Plantation Overproof dark rum.
Yeah.
Well, because it's yummy.
Good morning.
Duh. I'd add it to my margarita, but that'd be a blasphemy.
Do it!
Why not? Float it on top of your Roberta's margarita.
And that's it for the Speakeasy this week.
Look at her. There she goes. She's a boss.
Let's see how this works.
Oh, fuck. That's delicious.
Off,
that looks great. She just did a float.
My goddamn day off.
So you come back and you do a lot of work.
There's
Brooklyn Gin. Cheers. For
Grand Army.
For Grand Army,
for
of course. For the Speakeasy radio program. Yeah.
We've recorded a lot of shows this week.
That's right.
You know, for the times where I'm out of town. And you're out of town.
Yeah.
You know?
Not terrible.
Show must go on. I'm sure that's great.
Well.
Can I try it?
Coctology.
I'm trying it.
Coctology.
Since they're all barking in already, let's. and we're running a little bit late. It's holiday time, man.
We get to
relax.
We're doing it however we want to do it, whenever we want to do it.
Next week is Pranksgiving. Everything's going on. We got more people coming in the studio with a sandwich.
Dang.
Wow. Where'd that come from?
I this is like, I don't even care about the show anymore. I'm just like having the best time. Anyway, this is the best day. So, okay. So
we got more on the way, believe me.
So you and I, we did record some, we pre-recorded some shows on Friday.
Yeah, because it's holiday time and I are traveling a lot. So we have shows in the can that
a lot of other people are traveling too.
Yeah,
so like
true.
We want to catch people while they're in town. And yeah.
It's been great. Plus, we've got a bunch of recorded interviews we've done in like Portland Cocktail Week, and when I was down in Kansas City for Popfest, and Delray Beach, Florida, for that charity event that I did with Joaquin Simo.
Did one with the Wild Turkey family.
Yeah,
still needs to.
We got a lot of content we need to churn out.
Yeah, so. we can take a vacation at some point. I think
is that what that's called? Doing a lot of work in advance is not taking a vacation.
That's true.
But yeah, also, I just want to mention, I have a weird thing going on with Amore Amargo that I've never done before, and this guy convinced me to do it, so I'm going to do it. There's a thing called Home Bar Awards on Instagram. Go check them out. They have a little over 10,000 followers. He creates a contest every month. He's only started in January. He's already got 10,000 followers. So, you know, 10 months old, basically, he's got 10,000 followers. He creates a contest every month. He gives away some pretty interesting, cool prizes to home bartenders for photos that they put up. So it's like... Bar awards, but for home bartenders. But
that's cool.
The prize for December is only going to be eligible to the number one, number two, and number three placing people for the whole year that's gone by. So 33 people total for the 11 months. And it's going to be get your home bar creation on the menu at Amore Margo.
That's fucking cool.
I'm so entering.
That's really cool.
For two weeks. I can't do it forever.
Does like a bottle of shitty rum in the freezer count?
If it wins, it wins.
Okay.
Does my sippy cup count?
If it wins, it wins.
Your oversalted margarita.
So I think any listener out there who's a home bartender or maybe even a sneaky professional one, you should go to Home Bar Awards, check it out, and there'll be some rules and the competition will all be laid out, and you can get your item on the menu at Amore Margo for a couple of weeks in December. Well, I guess the competition will end at the end of December, so probably in January. It's gonna be fun though.
I make all my cocktails in a quart container, so never mind. We're not fancy at my house.
Chef style.
I guess it's a 55-gallon drum, right?
You know.
Anyway,
if I had one.
Let's circle back to our guests in the studio today. Some old friends, some new friends. We got Jackie Summers here from Jack from Brooklyn. He's a known character in our field as well as kind of an activist for all things intersectional. We got Jess Wohlers sitting in the chair as well. She's the GM over at Leanda, one of our favorite bars here in Brooklyn, working with Ivy Mix and the team over there. And then Tyler Beebe, who I don't really know what your title is.
So I'm an ex-bartender, but I worked in the service industry
You're
for...
You're never an ex-bartender.
Once
a bartender, always a bartender.
That's for real. Like my current career is a software engineer.
Yeah.
So right now I work for meetup.com.
What is Meetup? I saw that in your email. What is Meetup?
Meetup is an event hosting platform. So you can like create groups and go on there and post events and have people sign up and like an RSVP and stuff.
And then go meet up.
Yes.
It's just right there in the name.
It's intended as a tool to get people off the internet and in real life.
Oh.
Fancy that.
Interesting.
Away from virtual communication and into actual communication.
But my bartending experience, I worked not as a bartender, but as a back waiter at Prune, which I'm sure all of you in the
village. That's probably also where I met you.
Yeah,
I used to eat there quite a bit.
And then I was a bartender at Cake Shop, rest in peace.
Cake Shop all the time back in the day.
Yeah, you're just like this shadowy figure in my past. Yeah. I've been to all these places.
I've seen
We've
all
known
of
each
you
other
at 2 a.m.
Yeah, so you worked with Chris Balla and with Greg Curley. I've carried that guy home a bunch of times from the Cake Shop.
Yeah,
that dude.
I've also had to carry myself home from Cake Shop from playing shows there and just
Same.
Doing way too much, having way too many salty margaritas. But Jackie, probably.
We keep referencing Jackie and salt because we just watched him put a handful of salt on a slice of pizza that was thoroughly unnecessary. But
salt is life.
That's right.
But we look at the way he looks at 51 and we're going to start chugging salt on a daily basis.
Food is a transport mechanism for salt.
That's right.
100% agree.
I want to look like Jackie Summers.
And hot sauce.
Yep.
Yes.
And hot sauce.
Yeah.
So I haven't developed the hot sauce.
This show totally rambled off where I had
this
pictured
where,
it going.
This is where I like going.
I don't mean right this second. I mean just even in general
Uncharted
before we begin.
Territory.
We're just
So I had reached out to the team at Leanda, which was Jess and Shannon Ponce, and said, hey, let's get some ladies on the show and talk about being ladies in the business. And then I guess Shannon couldn't make it. Jess reached back out to me and said, I've got these other two folks who you know already who want to come on the show, and maybe we could talk about like what it's like to be a woman or what it's in this business, what it's like to be transgender in this business, what it's like to be an activist for all things intersectional in this business. So this is we're having fun and we're drinking rum and eating sandwiches, but we're also going to talk about some serious topics today, I think.
Absolutely.
But we're going to do it in a fun, lighthearted way so people don't get nervous or scared. And also, randomly just walked in, we got a fan of the show, Jake Zimmerman. He doesn't even live here in town. He just wanted to come hang out and sit in the studio with us. Say hi, Jake.
Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
So I think...
I like your pin.
I was like, dude, every time I see someone in another city wearing the I Heart Bitters pin, I'm like,
yes.
Yeah.
So there's got another cult follower.
That's right. another nice. Devotee. You have to say it like that, like it's weird. You
can't devotee?
Say, you can't devotee. Say devotee. You have to say devotee. Because it's a cult. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Devotees.
Cult of stirred cocktails.
Yeah. So, okay, we have have much to talk about.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes and no. We got much to talk about, but in no structured way. But I'd like to, you know, I think the person to leap right into it both feet is always Jackie Summers, because he's got a strong opinion, a lot of axes to grind.
I just had some strong rum, too.
He's got a lot of axes to grind and no filter.
Yeah.
Which is the line I steal all the time from Evan Freeman.
That's why we love him.
Yeah.
That's why he's our friend.
So what have you been up to? I saw you out in Portland Cocktail Week, and you did a great talk I sat in on.
Thank you.
Which was called, I'm not going to remember the title of
Implicit
the talk.
Implicit Bias on Both Sides of the Bar.
On Both Sides of the Bar, which is what interested me in going to it in the first place, right? And what did you talk about out there, and how do you think your message reached some people? And like, just give me your sense of what went on in general with that talk, and in Portland specifically.
I think the talk went really well. I was working with Jen Clio out of Small Hand Foods, San Francisco, Oakland. And what we talked about is all the stuff that happens unconsciously, where you prejudge people based on race, based on sex, based on sexual fluidity, based on how they come in dressed. The really important point we tried to make was everybody has bias. So that's not the question. The question is bias plus power equals what? I have bias. There are people that I am naturally drawn to, and people I'm naturally repelled from. But I have almost no power. So there isn't really much I can do if I don't like someone based on internal bias. The way the system is designed that we all inherited, we didn't create it, but we inherited it, is the system will absolutely discriminate against women, against trans people, against the LGBTQ community, against people of color. And if you have power and bias, then it is your responsibility to see, what can I do to help undo the damage that the system is benefiting me at the expense of others? So that's what we try to address.
It's really interesting that you mention power, because, you know, working in the restaurant industry for the last 20 years, I've seen so many managers that have taken their role way beyond, you know, what they need to. And it's definitely been, you always see people that are abusing the very little power that they have, and the power that they have is over their employees.
Little fiefdoms.
Exactly. But, you know, so it's really important that people recognize that as well, as far as being in management in the restaurant industry, to know that it's still overall like it's a team, you know, and you really have to be aware of people that managers that like abuse their small amount of power over their employees. And that, I think that stems a lot with the Me Too movement.
Right.
You know, we were seeing a lot of people that own bars, run bars, manage bars, that are taking advantage of their, you know, female employees. But yeah, so it's just something to touch on, because there's still a hierarchy in every career. You know, there's somebody that's on the bottom and somebody that's on the top. And so it's interesting that you mentioned power, whereas
the thing we try to tell
power is the thing that creates the dynamic, right?
Exactly.
Right, but it's not accidental that there are some people on bottom and some people on top. It's entirely deliberate.
Yeah, absolutely.
That women haven't been given the same opportunities as men. It's entirely deliberate,
right,
that people of color haven't been given the same opportunities as white people. Like, all of this is by design.
Absolutely.
And just to be clear, I own a liquor brand, and I was perfectly happy to sell to people, whoever wanted to buy, until Trayvon Martin was killed. And that hit me in a way that I wasn't expecting. And I saw a lot of the people that I considered to be my friends suddenly get really fucking racist. You can curse on this.
Yeah, a lot.
Really fucking racist.
Fucking curse as much as you
want. I had a choice between taking a stand, which I thought was the right side of history, or losing business. And it was like, well, like, this is the right thing to do. I kind of can't not do the right thing here.
Absolutely.
But the interesting thing about that for me, Jess, is it made me confront my own internalized misogyny, because what I taught people was it's not enough not to be not racist. You have to be actively anti-racist because the system is racist.
Absolutely.
And unless you are actively anti-racist, you are passively participating in a system which benefits you at the expense of other people. Right. And when I realized that, I was like, huh, I always thought that I was not sexist. Treat women with respect.
Yeah.
Treat dignity, kindness. But I wasn't actively anti-sexist. I was passively
benefiting
from a system that benefited me at the cost of women.
Right. Well,
I think you said at your talk, no longer is it time for us to be allies. We have to be accomplices.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want you to just say that this is the right thing to do. I want you to be the fucking getaway driver.
Right. Like, I want people to be down for the cause.
Absolutely.
Right.
But yeah. I want to say, as a manager of a business that thrives on those same mottos and, you know, is owned by lesbians and employs an extremely...
Woo! Lesbians!
Woo! Woo! And, you know, we employ an extremely diverse crew of people because
Absolutely.
That's how, you know, we are. We don't see that as... We don't have those implicit biases when we're hiring. We hire based on, like, you know, personality and experience, essentially. But what we were talking about earlier at the bar, which is something to take note of, is that as a manager of a bar, I have to be really conscious and present when it comes to how people are interacting at the bar. So if there is somebody that's creating...
On both sides of the bar.
Yes. So if somebody is creating an uncomfortable situation for my workers or for patrons, I have to be very, very keen to that. And not everybody knows how to use their voice. So there are a lot of people that are, you know, that want to be allies and that want to help as much as possible. And they aren't racist and they aren't sexist and they really believe in the cause. But a lot of people don't know how to use their voice. Not everybody is as... you know, fluid in using their voice as you or myself. Like, you know, I feel lucky to manage a place where I don't have a problem walking up to a guest and saying, like, hey, listen, I think it's time for you to go. Here's your check. Like, you're, you know, without...
Right, you don't feel nervous walking up to a guest and saying that. And you also don't feel nervous.
But a lot of people do.
Sure, sure.
But that's my job, is to make sure that people that work for me feel comfortable and supported and that guests feel comfortable and supported. So we, you know... It is one thing, like, I would say that I'm an ally and that I'm a friend and that I will do anything in my power to make sure everybody around me, friend or stranger, feel comfortable. But that's really hard for some people. Some people are not as,
It's hard for some people in a lot of ways. And I think you're especially lucky in that you have a strength of voice and you also, you're the middle, right? You're not
right.
The top. So the top of your house says this is okay as well.
Yeah.
So,
and
I think that's not always
Julie,
the truth.
I talked to Sue before I came on the show and I was like, hey, listen, is there anything you
I did
don't
too.
Want
I saw
me
her
to
on
talk
the,
about?
The subway on the way here.
That's right. I was like, is there anything you don't want me to talk about? Is there anything that you want to protect from a business standpoint? Is there anything like, you know, you don't want me to touch on because you want to keep things somewhat neutral? And she was like, no. She's like, you lead with your heart. You know, you protect your staff. You know, like, she's like, whatever you feel like you have to say is something that we would support. And that's amazing. Not everybody has that opportunity to work for a place where your bosses are, you know, as active and as supportive and involved as mine. And we, you know, we do a ton of work with charities that support the ACLU, that support LGBTQ rights, that support women, you know. So we're in a position where, you know, hopefully we can kind of lead the way a little bit and be as supportive and be allies and friends and a safe space for people that may generally be marginalized or, you know, disenfranchised or disrespected. And we don't allow that at all, whether you're a cisgendered woman that's trying to hang out with your friends and a gentleman is getting too drunk and whatever and not acting like a gentleman, or if you're trans, or if you're Black, or if you're Native American, or if you're a Latino, or, you know, like, we try to protect everybody all the time.
And that's really,
it's a core value of hospitality.
It's actually, that is, it's like, it is. You just kind of like started moving into this part of the conversation where I had wanted to ask this question about how do you manage. The thing is, managing bars and restaurants, managing people in general, really, it doesn't matter what kind of line of work you're in, or it doesn't even really like pertain to work. Although we are definitely kind of focusing on that here with, in this conversation. But like the thing is, like, when we all understand each other and we understand like how to respect and love each other, how do you translate that to like your team and to the, and also to like your customers at the bar or the restaurant? You know, that's like a really hard thing because like, you don't,
leading by example is not enough. You have to have training. You have to actually actively do it. But, like Jackie was saying, you have to be active.
You have to be extremely active. You know, like for me, at like my bar, there have been people where I'm like, you gotta fucking leave. And it's not because they're drunk. And it's not because they're like being like sexist or racist. They're just like
so
toxic feeling people. I'm like, I can already tell that you're just like fucking terrible, so you gotta leave.
Souther said something earlier before we came in here that I thought was especially relevant, and that is being able to at any time take the tone and temperature of your bar.
Absolutely.
To know if to know if it's too bright or too loud, or if somebody that has had too much to drink or is being an asshole. And the trick to managing
implicit bias. You talking about vodka drinkers?
Yeah.
Hey.
Sorry,
I love vodka.
I just wanted to make a comic relief to lighten the room a little bit. All right. Continue, Jackie.
The trick to managing that bias that happens not just in front of but behind the bar is to know how to make marginalized people feel safe. And I mean that in a very literal way. There are Jewish people that feel that they cannot reveal their ethnicity because they would be endangered. There are trans people that feel that they cannot reveal their trans because they would be physically endangered. There are gay people. There are like literal physical actually make people feel safe and at the same time make oppressors feel unwanted.
Absolutely.
Your bullshit's not welcome here. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Right. And I feel like
I don't care how much money you got. Fucking doesn't matter. I'd rather give, like, and I do this all the time, people without money, I'll give them a drink or, like, give them, like, a fucking sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like.
Well, yeah, but, and it's, being lucky.
I don't care.
Working for Landa, and I feel like people that come into Landa for the first time or that have been there a million times get a sense of the diversity that is surrounding them. Like, we have, you know, we have rainbow flags hanging. We used to have a huge Donald as a Bendejo poster until some crazy person came in and ripped it off the wall, which I think is hilarious, but whatever. So it's like,
wow.
Yeah, that was a thing that happened. But, you know, I was like, oh, New York, you guys exist? But anyway, so I feel like you, when you come into Landa, you know, our head bartender is a lesbian. It's owned by lesbians. We hire we have a lot of gay men that work there. We have, you know, all shades of the rainbow of people that work there. And they've all been there forever and promoted and worked their way up. And, you know, it's just like, you would have to know, unless you were a complete idiot,
you know,
that
what?
Coming into Landa.
Totally. I was going to say, like as a bartender or as anyone in the service industry or just as a generally, like, fucking good human being, like, you know how to read the fucking room.
You would think
and, like,
so.
You would and think I, that like, as a customer, you would also be able to read the fucking place. Like,
right.
There was, like, one of the Police Academy movies where, like, they end up at the Blue Oyster, like, which is like a gay bar, and like they just didn't realize it was a gay bar.
Oh,
and they're like, what the fuck?
How oblivious do you have to be?
And there are a lot of people that are oblivious, but I have to say I've been lucky that I haven't had to deal with people that have intrinsic biases against people that are a different shade of color than me, or, you know, people that are gay, lesbian, transgender, We've been pretty lucky with that. Like, the only thing I've ever had to deal with at Landa were guys getting too drunk and making women feel uncomfortable, which we have no problem jumping in. And it's interesting because I was telling Jackie this at the bar. Shannon had told me a story where we used to have it was Outsmart, right?
Right.
Outsmart NYC, which is an organization that works to protect women in the industry and, you know, make sure that women get home safely and that nobody's, you know, being abused. And we had done a workshop with them, and we had their little cards in the bar, which basically suggests that if you're in trouble, you can talk to the bartender and you can have a code word, or, you know, there is some sort of interaction you could have with the bartender or the manager to let us know that you're in trouble. And then we can jump in and help you, which allows for the women who don't feel strongly about their voice or don't want to cause a scene. And this one woman came out of the bathroom one time and approached Shannon and was just like, "Is that really necessary?" And I'm thinking, like, wow, that's great that she feels strongly enough to use her voice to present her opposition to, you know, what she's seeing. And maybe it's triggering to her, or maybe it's something that just makes her feel like, oh, I was having a great time and now I see the reality of something in front of me.
Of being in a room full of people who are taking drugs.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, her being totally slowly poisoned, you know. Yeah. So it's... It was so interesting to me, you know, because that I wish I would have been there to say, like, I recognize that you're strong enough to use your voice, but a lot of women aren't, you know, a lot of men aren't, you know,
I think we all hope that it's never necessary to have an ambulance, but we still have them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
yeah. And it needs to be there for triage situations.
And it's just like, if you feel uncomfortable, you know, and you don't know how to say, listen, sir or ma'am, I'm uncomfortable, you can rely on us. You can give us a code word. You can say, hey, listen, this person's making me feel really uncomfortable. And I will swoop in and do my best to alleviate and get rid of.
And this folds back to training. You wouldn't have had this in your bar if you hadn't trained your staff to understand what it meant. Right.
But I think it helps active, to have a diverse
you're being
staff.
Active. Yeah, and you're being active.
When you have a diverse staff, they already understand, like, what, you know, what you're up against. If everybody on our staff has had some form of prejudice against them in their life, so they understand. And I don't even need to train them. But just knowing them and giving them a safe space to work and a space where they feel supported and loved and, you know, like that we have their back, which is huge. Mm. It's like, you know, they can come talk to me because I've made that clear to them.
Yeah. Right. And free to be themselves and be creative, which is what you want to do, especially in like our style of like bars where like creativity is.
Yeah, because we love them. We want them to thrive. We hire people that we appreciate, and we hire based on personalities. And if we think people are freaking amazing, like, we hire them, and then we train them to do the monkey job, you know, and then it's great. And then everybody excels, and that's how it works. You know, when you're supported and you're making money and you're happy, it's like, it's fine.
Well, representation super matters.
Yes.
Like, for patrons and prospective employees.
Absolutely.
Right.
Like, just seeing people like you in a place makes you feel safer.
Yeah.
Right.
We
should actually probably take a quick break for station identification and sponsorship commercials, what have you. We're going to come back, and I'd love to hear more, especially from Tyler. You haven't spoken up too much, so I want to hear more about your experiences being behind the bar as a trans person, or being in bars as a trans person, or fucking being on the subway. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Missing you when you're not around. All I can do, I'm missing you.
This program is brought to you by Jewel Sous Vide. My name is Katie Mosman Wadler. I'm the executive director of HRN and a real-life Jewel user. I use Jewel to help me host the most delicious dinner parties. When you cook with Jewel, there's zero guesswork. So steak, chicken, seafood, turkey, vegetables, and eggs all come out exactly the way you like them. The Paired app is super intuitive and has a great visual doneness guide. Jewel is awesome for prepping many perfect portions, making it easy to cook for a crowd, and it's hands-free so you can focus on entertaining while Jewel does the work. And pro tip, Jewel is also great for travel. I throw mine in my suitcase if I'm headed to a rental house with any kind of uncertain kitchen. From perfect steak to juicy, tender Thanksgiving turkey, Jewel makes the best food you've ever tasted. Just be sure to save some room for mini jars of pumpkin pie. Jewel, perfect food every time. To get yours, visit chefsteps.com/Jewel and use code HRN, as in Heritage Radio Network, to get $15 off for a limited time. That's chefsteps.com/JOULE, code HRN.
And we are back at the speakeasy.
Wait, did anyone said it's Jake, Jesse, Jackie, the guest today? It's the J Crew today.
Nice.
Are we fucking back?
J Crew,
we are
back. I just said welcome back. We're back. You were busy over there picking out some tequila.
So they're keeping us in line.
Well, we got stuff
to
do.
Somebody needs to. So
we were just switching over and talking to Tyler a little bit more about what it's like to be a trans person. I'd like to know more about what it's like to be a trans person in general, but certainly the topic of our show, of course, is being in bars, both behind them and in front of them, which you've done both.
Right.
Talk to that a little bit and what sort of, you know, trials and tribulations you've had to deal with here in New York City, even, which is a very progressive town.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I would say New York City is a fairly good place to transition.
Yeah.
I came out, about... I
mean, it probably beats Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, hell yeah. I grew up in Tallahassee, Florida.
A place I make fun of constantly and I've never been.
Tallahassee?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Floridian myself.
Yeah. Go Andrew Gillum. I hope you win the governor's race.
Please.
Anyway.
For my mother's sake.
Yeah. I transitioned on a job working for Denostia with...
buddy, with Will Pete.
Yeah, with Will Pete, a buddy of mine. I think I was also working at Extra Fancy at the time.
Cool.
So shout out to them.
Did we work together there?
You worked at Extra Fancy?
Yeah. I don't remember much of it.
But I did work with Eric Chow.
Oh, Eric. He's like our bestie.
Yeah.
These are all friends of the show. They've been on the show before, so it's nice to like continue to have great company on the show.
The Amore Amargo family, I feel like I know, if not... directly than through stories.
Sure.
So. many stories. We probably can't even talk about on this show.
So you transitioned on the job, meaning...
Right, yeah. So
describe that process.
So, 1 year, I think it was like 2014 or something, I don't even remember, I had like a real big crisis, and I was working at an insurance agency for reasons, and I quit my job and talked to Will and was like, I want to be a bartender, what's it like? And so then, like, a week later, he calls me. He's like, you want to be my bar back? I'm like, all right, sure. So I go in there, and I work there for a while, and eventually come to the realization that, one, I'm trans, and two, I have to transition, or else I might do something terrible to myself.
Right.
So I kind of, like, kept it low for a while, especially because, like, when you start hormones, things don't really start showing necessarily for, like, the first 6 months to a year. And then at some point I approached my boss and was like, hey, I am doing this thing and, I just want you to know. And I like, 'cause you're a business owner and you know, my job is very public facing and I just want to talk to you about it. And he was like, oh, that's absolutely fine. We support you 100%. And I was really lucky to have that experience. And working for Denostia was like really, really positive at a very formative time in my life. As far as the business goes, it was great. The public, however, were not always the best. Okay. Most people understand because like it's the East Village. People know what gay people are. They know what trans people are. Like it's not anything new. But some people don't.
So you experienced no pushback from your employers.
Correct.
But you felt some from.
The public. And I mean, like it ranged from like harmless misgendering and then they would correct themselves once they realized it to like explicit, like, I am going to call you a man and refer to you as he, him, like that kind of stuff. And like, thankfully, you know, I felt protected enough and supported enough that I could like kind of push back against that. And I don't think anyone was ever like violent or on the verge of being violent, but it's kind of terrifying because you're like, you just want to exist and do your job. And some people don't want you to do that.
Well, that's to me, I feel the reason why I got into bartending and eventually bar ownership is because of the fact that every time that I went to my neighborhood bar, even in a place like back in the day that wasn't necessarily as progressive as it is now, as like Oklahoma City, I always felt like whenever I was in my neighborhood bar, that was like my safe place.
Yeah.
It felt like more comfortable than my actual house that I lived in.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And when you go back in history, like, you think about, like, I mean, the word pub comes from, it's shortened for public house. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's where everyone would meet up. That's where communities would meet, make governmental decisions, even before the word government existed. You know, like, but the thing is, when every bar that I've worked at, I've always felt that it needs to be like every bar that I've been a patron at and worked at, that's like my safe space, you know? And so, like, to me, like, I'm like, dude, you can't, like, especially if you're working there and someone comes in and, like, they judge you on, like, any kind of, like, decision that you've made or that has been made for you, like, just from, like, the world coming together and, like, kind of creating yourself, you know, like, it's like, fuck you, get the fuck out of here, man.
But if you think about it, Damon, it does come back to power, because, you know, that old adage that the customer is always right, yeah, and that they have some sort of their servers or bartenders, which nowadays is not the case, you know, especially in New York City. But
I love it when people bring up this thing. Because that fucking adage comes from Sam Walton. And he fucking ruined small town businesses.
He did, but, you know.
And a lot of other things.
Opening a bar in Tampa, it was very much, that it was polar opposite from New York. As far as most people were, like, genuine and lovely and like, oh my God, yeah, New York, this is great. We have a taste of New York here in Tampa and whatever. But there were certainly... There was one time where a guy came in after Trump won and he was in his full, you know, camo. So we're lucky we saw him at all. But he came in and sat down with his, like, lady. And we were like, where are you? But we can hear you being an asshole. And he was just kind of like carrying on and being really, like, gregarious and blah, blah, blah. And, blah, blah, blah. And everyone was like, geez. And he was like, my boy won. My boy's in the office. And then we were all, and it's like, we had,
and meanwhile, you're had, like, he doesn't give a fuck about you anyway. But, so, like,
but here's
you,
the thing. Yeah, right. That's for a whole other show. But so his waitress was my friend Sam, who I love. And she is covered in tattoos, has a septum piercing, like, is just the most, like, liberal person you'll ever meet. And then she comes back over to me, and I'm bartending at the time, and she's just like, oh my God. And she tells me, and I'm like, well, you know, you should tell him is that, how does it feel to finally be a minority? Because everybody in this fucking place hates you. But it's like, the idea is, like, people think that they still think that they have some form of power, and they will try to wield that any chance they get, because they have no power in their real life. So when they come into a restaurant, it's a really delicate thing. A lot of people, you know, will just think they can be assholes because they think that they're going to get away with it. Like, you can't be an asshole in your house. You have to leave your house to be an asshole.
Of assholes are assholes in their houses.
They have pets. I don't even, who knows?
Like, 100% of the time.
Can I take a moment to espouse my stub toe theory here?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Who stubbed their toe in the middle of the night?
All of us.
All the time. Everybody.
I've broken my shit.
Right?
Oh, my God.
When you stub your toe in the middle of the night, how does your body respond?
Ow. You respond with anger, and then I'm like, retract, and kind of like, all right, I have to learn.
Your whole body tries to protect that toe. It's just a toe, right? But suddenly the whole body goes, holy fucking shit, stub toe. Left leg, limp. Under no circumstance. Touch that, like, your whole body goes, this is our most vulnerable part right at this second.
Yeah. My original thought is, like, protect. I shouldn't hang out with Thomas Y anymore.
Yes, that's right.
That's correct. But
your whole body goes to protect that toe because it's most vulnerable. And in a general sense, This is how a body responds, and it's automatic. It could be a stubbed toe. It could be a fever. It could be a virus. It could, anything wrong with your body. Your whole body goes, we have something vulnerable. Let's divert all of our attention and all of our resources to protecting this vulnerable part of us because we're a body. And if one part of us is hurting, all of us are hurting. Society should work this same way. Whatever part of us is most vulnerable, the rest of us are supposed to cover in and go, here is one part of us that it, you, okay, you think it's a toe. You don't think it's important until you fucking stub it in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then it's the most important part of your whole body. The whole body is supposed to group together to protect whatever is most vulnerable. And if we can't do that, we're failing as society.
Well, some people don't want to participate in a society.
Yeah,
that's correct. That's what is like most ridiculous to me is that like, yeah. like they don't want to pay taxes, they don't want to help other people, and I'm like, don't you want to participate and benefit from all of these things?
No social responsibility whatsoever.
Yeah.
What would be? I mean,
how a body
Tyler,
works.
What would be your advice for managers, for people like, you know, just for me myself, I unfortunately do not work with any trans people, and I would love to know like if there is anything specifically that I can do, if I'm already doing enough, or if there is something more that we can do as management and bar owners to make sure that everybody in the trans community feels welcome and cared for and supported, and you know, whether or not they're our employees or their patrons, or is it just a matter of making sure we treat everybody exactly the same and just make sure that, you know, we're using gender neutral terms when we
right.
address groups, or, you know, like, could it be that simple, or is it more than that?
I mean, that is definitely like what I would suggest as a first step. Like, referring to groups of people with gender neutral language is a huge thing. Like, I absolutely hate it. Like walking into a place, now it rarely happens because I'm very binary as a trans person.
Right.
But like, especially when I was a little more androgynous in the beginning, I hated like hello sir, you know, like that kind of stuff. And I'm like, why is that necessary? You can just say hello.
What about hey guys?
Guys,
a big thing right now. My head bartender hates referring to groups of people as guys.
Yeah.
As a cisgendered woman, you know, I've never been offended when people address a group that I'm in as hey guys, but that's also, you know, the weird ways that I've been brought up.
It's a particular type of privilege.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I recognize. And I want to make sure that, you know, we pretty much use gender neutral terms when we were addressing groups in general at Lanta.
Yeah.
But maybe for those out there that...
I'm big on, hey, fuckers.
Because everyone fucks.
Right. Gender neutral.
Or wants
hey,
to.
Fuckers.
Hopefully.
Or wants to.
Yeah.
I'm from the South. I'm a big fan of y'all. I'm a big fan of folks. I'm a big fan of like, I don't know.
Friends.
Yeah, friends.
Team.
Not
squad.
Friend,
Jesse Harris at you know that Jesse Willers works with.
Yeah.
He always says hello, friends.
Yeah.
And it's, you know,
it's like how could you get mad at that?
I like
can't
saying y'all because I think it's endearing. People.
Right. I always say y'all, but I'm from
right.
Oklahoma, so
yeah.
But that's the only thing people will be like, "Where are you from?" And I'm like, "Oh, Jersey."
Yeah,
and,
so,
and then they're like, "Wait, what?"
It's interesting talking about this stuff because it's definitely not limited to just the service industry. Like, there's a huge movement in tech that I am a big part of to help empower women and non-binary people succeed in their careers. And like one little fun example is that like in one of our Slack channels, Slack's like an instant messenger that a lot of companies in the tech world use. We have a bot that will respond to you if you use the word guys, and it'll be like, hey, did you mean folks, people,
yes,
et cetera.
Awesome.
And
that's
like provide
awesome.
Provide alternatives to gendered language.
Awesome. I have no idea.
I like how France is actually rewriting their syntax to be non-gendered.
Yeah.
So great.
Legal representation is super important. Like, I feel like it's not that hard to provide a supportive environment for trans people. Like, it's essentially as like similar to providing a supportive environment for lesbian or gay people or POC, just like respect them as people and like be aware of your language.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not that hard to be fucking nice normal. To people.
Just normal.
Yeah. Jackie's got his hand up. I'm not sure why Jackie has his hand up.
Also, like,
he's got a microphone right in front of him.
Also, if you're wearing a suit or a dress, it doesn't matter. They do the same thing. They cover your body.
Yeah.
They keep you warm.
Whatever. Scottish, man.
And that's how we feel about it, because we don't give a shit. But, like, you know, a lot of this is for people that may be working in our industry that don't feel comfortable talking to us about it, because they hear us speak about it in a very open way. But some people may still have questions. Some people,
I mean, yeah, I'm in that boat. The danger of privilege, you know, is that I don't know. I don't have to size up a bar when I walk in. I'm okay in any bar
absolutely.
I go to.
Yeah. Well,
I'm assuming that a woman does, a person of color does, a trans person has
to
like,
but I
take
but
a look
I use
around
my voice,
even before
you know?
You go in the door and make sure I'm going to be welcome here.
But that's the thing. Like, I
I'll roll
my
into
voice.
Any place
and
I want.
I have weird ways that I like, you know, puff up if I'm going into a dive bar, and I certainly act differently via different bars that I go
you
to.
You order double margaritas.
True. But I ordered double margaritas and a punch in the throat.
Extra salt.
But, you know, but I don't, it's weird because I don't have the fear when I go into bars or when I'm walking around at night, but I am aware.
Yeah.
Right. So
in one, it's almost like a form of PTSD.
Exactly. Yeah. Like which it truly is. Like as a person who's a survivor of sexual assault and as
but
a person
but it's not even post-traumatic. It's continued
current,
traumatic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's CTSD.
You just
current
learn to
traumatic
live with
syndrome.
It and it becomes part of your everyday existence. But when you take a step back and think about it, you're like, shit, that really sucks. But, you know, it's been part of your life for so long. And if I want to be, you know, a single woman walking around New York City at night or go to a bar, like, obviously I take precautions and I'm hyper aware, but I don't have a fear necessarily of going into these places and having a drink by myself, because I will tell somebody to get the fuck out of my face, you know? Yeah. So, but it's true. We all have those layers that we have to peel back that are, you know, of PTSD related experiences.
So one of the things that I try to talk about when we discuss these things is the nature of how colonization impacted all of this.
Yeah.
And how it is important not to just decolonize but to indigenize, because most of the indigenous cultures recognized a spectrum of gender fluidity.
Right.
The indigenous people of what we think of the Americas recognized gender fluidity. The Asians before colonization recognized gender fluidity. This is not a new concept.
No.
This predates colonization by thousands of years. This was the default that got interrupted, and the more we can get back to how things were, the better it is for kind of all of us.
Yeah,
I think that's the message that people seem to miss all the time, is the better this is for anyone, the better it is for everyone.
Yeah.
I feel
and
like
other
feel
people's
media
lives
kind
don't
of like,
affect you. Like, just let it lie. Like, what other people choose to do will never affect you personally. It will never directly affect your life. So, but, you know, we still have to deal with our...
I feel like
president
media has like taken a huge change, because like I feel like there was like a huge moment like in like the early to mid 20th century with like kind of like propaganda films like based on race and based on gender, you know, like Planet of Women and like, you know, like crazy
like
shit like that.
B movie.
But the crazy thing about it is like when you think about it, like those movies were like all like done by Ed Wood, who was like transgender, right?
It's amazing.
So,
yeah.
He's my personal hero. But
yeah,
it's just crazy the climate that we live in right now, and it's super important that everybody feels safe and wanted and comfortable, and it's a damn bar.
Yeah.
You should be able to go into your bar and relax and have a drink
and can
get
I say
away,
this?
You know?
It is more profitable.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Women drink. People of color drink. The LGBTQ community.
Yeah, all of them.
This is after two shots
of
overproof rum.
Drinks.
Excuse.
The trans community drinks.
Hey,
why would you not make these people comfortable?
If it makes the conversation happen, then I'm going to pour you some more drinks, man.
Keep getting some rum.
Why would you not make these people feel comfortable in your bars? It is profitable.
Plus, that's hospitality 101.
Exactly. As a business owner, why would you turn down dollars on the table?
Absolutely.
There's money on the table,
I mean,
and you're saying no to it.
the financial incentives are there, of course, but also like just the incentive to be a decent fucking human being.
Wow. Yes. There's a goal.
Yeah.
Then you have people coming back.
What a crazy concept.
I know. That's an easily attainable goal to be a decent fucking human being.
The bar is so low.
Yeah. It's easy to do.
Right now, the bar is somewhere between the Mariana Trench and the Earth's molten core.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, wow, you're treating me as if I'm a human. Okay. Wow.
Go figure. Yeah.
Let me see that tequila.
Step one. Step one achieved.
Step one. Yeah. Nice.
Well, I think the goal of this show and the message that we have just started to scratch the surface of.
Yeah, man. We need to have this
fucking
panel
be
again.
Cool or fuck off,
man. Let's do it again.
Like,
I would absolutely
we're all
come
here
back.
Together.
Yeah, yeah.
We would love to have you back.
Cool. Trifecta. Sorry, y'all didn't see, but we just did a fist bump between the three of us.
That's right. This is radio, not television.
And that's,
I'm so
that's
glad
for our
it's
own
radio,
sakes.
Not television.
But you can check out some photos on our Instagram at Speakeasy Podcast on Instagram. We'll also be posting at The Speakeasy Radio. Speakeasy Radio on Twitter, and you can catch up with. We'll put links to all these things that we've talked about today on the Instagram for sure.
And let's talk about how to get in touch with all of
you. Yeah, that's what I was getting up to next. Jess Wohlers, how can people reach you if you want them to?
I mean, if they can come into the bar, I'm there all the time. It's Leyenda, L-E-Y-E-N-D-A.
It's about to be Slayenda.
Ooh, that's right.
It's about to be Slayenda, y'all.
Holiday time.
Doing our holiday pop-up, which is usually focused on empowered women, and you know, but whatever. I want to leave some for... When you guys check
didn't
out.
Y'all get sued by Beyonce last year?
No.
you did.
We just got a cease and desist. We got a cease and desist. She's got better things to do than to sue us. Please.
Her lawyers don't.
Lawyers are like, wait. No, but that was, you know, that was taken a little out of context. It was supposed to be Beyonce and a bunch of other really strong independent women. Now we'll be focusing more on like the RBG aspect and, you know, it's a woman-run business. Yep. We support women. We, you know, want women to feel empowered all the time and to understand that, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's going to be Slayenda because women slay and we try to slay at our bar and we're going to have a rad holiday pop-up.
And Santa's slay. It all ties together. I get it.
I always feel so comfortable at that bar.
I'm glad that I get to see you more that I work at Lanza now than I've ever seen you before. And
well,
because
really my roommate,
that.
Robbie Nelson,
even though he lives in California now,
he goes there three times a day.
I know when you're in town because you always come to Lanza. Yeah. But,
I mean,
where
were you when I was bartending?
Girl.
So
I was hanging out at your bar. I'm good friends. I used to go to Dynasty all the time, extra fancy sometimes. Because it's a little late night for me.
Muzzle shirt Monday.
You know, but...
Patty Melts after midnight.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Patty Melts.
All right. We're getting off topic. You got a social media handle you want people to follow? Leyenda?
I mean, it's... I think it's Leyenda BK.
Leyenda BK, yeah.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, it's our Instagram handle if you want to follow it. We always have, like, cool, fun stuff and pictures of our awesome staff and...
And the soon-to-be holiday pop-up, Leyenda.
Yeah, exactly. And Shannon Ponche and Leanne Favre just won the Rethink competition.
Won it. Nice.
At Woo! Nomad last night because that we're shit. Also not only are we LGBTQ friendly and women friendly and positive, we are also eco-friendly. So we try to do our best to make sure that we are helping the planet as well as the people that live on it. So
neat.
Come to Leyenda. Drink margaritas with us.
Tyler, you want anybody to get in touch with you?
Yeah, if you want to reach me, the easiest way is probably through my work email, just because it's easy to say. It's T-Y-L-E-R, Tyler, at meetup.com. None of my views are necessarily the views of the company, just a disclaimer.
Ooh,
you can also
smart.
Find me
we should
on,
put that in everything.
Yeah, right? I'm not speaking in any professional capacity. You can also find me on social media, Tyler Beebe. Last name is B-E-E-B-E.
Nice.
Red.
B E E. Two B-E-E. Different ways.
B E.
Like B-E-B.
Buzz, and then also just
right.
Being.
Exist.
Yeah.
Buzz and exist.
An annoying name to spell.
I know.
And
it's great.
Jackie Summers.
So I want to say that I was in Madison, Wisconsin over the summer, and there are tons of Black Lives Matter signs, and no black people. And I sort of feel like it is one thing to stand up for trans rights and another thing to actually have trans people in life. So, yeah, Tyler, we're going to figure out how to do shit together.
Yeah.
If you want to catch me on social media, it's Twitter and Instagram, The Liquitarian, LIQUIRTARIAN.
I love that.
And if you want to catch really fucked up personal shit, it's Jack from BKLN on Twitter.
Jack from Brooklyn.
Yeah, those political views.
That's kind of all we've got for the show, and we're running a little long. I wanted
to know what? Honestly, like,
we can do it.
It's not long enough, man.
It's never long enough.
We need to continue this conversation.
But is it thick enough?
Come on! All right, that's a terrible way to end this. But I will say this: the way that we operate this show is the open conversation, you know, like between friends and free thinkers and wise people, and to have this conversation today is very important. And we would love to, as always, have our friends back on the show. So anytime you want to come back on the show, like, we would absolutely, the door's always open.
Always.
You
know? Just let us know when.
All right, I'm moving on.
Anytime.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Sweet. Anytime. Yeah, honestly, anytime. We're here at 2 o'clock on Wednesdays doing the show live. You can come hang out in the studio just like Jake is right now, or you can chime in whenever you want to. It's fine with us. We like having guests.
Yay.
We're in the hospitality business. We like being hospitable. Yeah. I want to re-mention Home Bar Awards. Go check out that Instagram site. They're going to be posting up a contest that you can get your drink on the menu at Amore Amargo. That's a pretty prestigious thing, I think.
I'm going to try.
Yes.
I think I'm going to try to do it.
Prestige bar, right?
Am I allowed to try because I'm not really a bartender anymore? So am I considered a home bartender?
It's their competition. You enter, you see what happens. I don't know. I don't even think I'm a judge. I think it's up to them.
Oh, sweet.
I recuse myself.
I'll be like, wait a minute.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests today for coming in.
Thank you.
I want to say always welcome back. Even if you just want to come and hang out like Jake's doing right now, like, just sit in the studio and listen. And I think that's like one of the most important things that we can all do for each other. I always say that the two funnest things you can do for another human being is cook for them and listen to them.
Yes.
I always tell people that.
Yeah.
Correct. And I quote you.
I don't know how to cook, but I can make a mean cocktail.
I know how to do both.
I can reheat some pizza if someone needs to be listened to, you know, like, but
I'm really good at grocery.
I can chug the fuck up and listen.
Yeah. It's important, man. So that's it for the Speakeasy this week.
Yay.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Woo.
Can't wait to have you back. Souther, it's great to see you.
Always.
We will be back next week with
could be anybody. It's a Russian roulette.
Well, that's true.
Wow, but that's an image.
We've got a bunch of recorded shows. We don't know which one we're going to throw.
Yeah,
out
we've been doing a lot of great recordings lately, and it's with a lot of great people. So can't wait to
can't wait to share that content with you.
Keep that going. So please go to heritageradionetwork.org to check out many other programs like this one, but probably not as good as this one.
Shout out to Public Radio, it's a little hometown pride.
Yeah, right?
Hey, man,
support Public Radio.
Yay. That's right.
We're doing that. So yeah, you can go to the website and click on the Beating Heart to donate to the station to keep our shows going, and that's how we keep this content rolling along. Is, you know, being the fact that we're a nonprofit organization with a big open door and a big beating heart.
That's right.
You're welcome.
So until next week.
Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Cheers.
With your rock and roll, Lord, knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sound. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.